It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Hello, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff. And today my guest is Pastor Chappelle from Tomball, Texas. And I am going to let him come to you in the way that God has ordained for him to come. And at this time, we'll listen to Pastor Chappelle.
Thank you. Good morning to you all out there in the radio audience. We pray that you're doing well and experiencing the richness of being in relationship with the triune God. Psalm 19:14 reads, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Amen. Amen. Today, we'll be looking at scriptures found in Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 21 through 26. Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 21 through 26. And it reads as follows. "This I recall to my mind. Therefore, have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Our topic for observation today is entitled, God's faithfulness to us.
Amen.
God's faithfulness to us. The short book of Lamentations is the prophet Jeremiah's lament over the city that God had sent him to prophesy to of the coming punishment if they did not turn from the moral decay and disobedience to God's commands. The people did not listen to his warnings. God's punishment on the people and the city of Jerusalem was the allowing of the Babylonian army to invade and destroy the city of Jerusalem. God had enough. He had given them warning that they needed to turn away from their wicked ways. turn away from burning incense to idol gods, that they should get away from their worship of idol gods. The moral decay and disobedience of Israel was greater than that of Sodom. Lamentations, the 4th chapter, verse 6 states, "For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands stayed on her." The prophet Jeremiah had in chapter 3, verses 1 through 20 of Lamentations, was voicing his anguish over the sufferings of the people of Jerusalem and Judah. Israel had turned away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as they burned incense to and worshiped idol gods.
Amen.
Their disobedience had caused the wrath of God to fall upon them. They had come under siege by the Babylonian army, which destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Many of the Hebrews were captured and exiled to Babylon. The prophet lamented his people were suffering greatly at the hands of their captors, the Babylonians. He described the captive Hebrews as being hedged in, their paths made crooked, having been desolate, and their prayers ignored by the God they had turned away from. The people were going through some tough times, some unbearable times, as they experienced the tough love, the justice of God Almighty. When the prophet took a moment away from his complaints and anguish, he felt a revelation of what he had learned and knew of the character of God. We'd like to focus on three areas of our text. The first area, our God shows his faithfulness each and every day of our lives. Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, verses 21 through 23 reads, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." In the context of Israel's and Judah's situation, the prophet reflected that as bad as things were, they could have been a lot worse. The prophet realizes that things aren't worse only because of a compassionate, merciful, and faithful God. The people of Israel and Judah had fallen short in their obedience and reverence for God, the same God who had brought them out of Egypt into the promised land. As bad as their behavior was, God still dealt with his chosen people compassionately, with faithful mercies given to them each day. We as believers today sometimes fall short in our obedience and reverence for the Lord. We can get a "what have you done for me lately" type attitude and lose sight of the faithfulness he's already shown in our lives. His faithfulness to forgive, as is shown in 1 John 1:9, as it states, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us sins and to cleanse us from our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. How many of you have seen commercials of cleaning services that will come into your house and clean your house for a fee? And they say they'll get it wholly cleaned. But how many of you know, no matter what tool, what device, what level of labor they may use, there will still remain some dirt, some debris, something there that shouldn't be there. But my God, the Almighty God, when He cleans house, the house is thoroughly clean.
Amen.
He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from all sins when we turn to Him in repentance of our wrongdoings, of our sins. The prophet Isaiah expresses his thanksgiving for God's faithfulness in his life when he is inspired to write in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Because God is not fickle, because God is not wishy-washy, because God is not sometimey, because God is not a now and then faithful God, but He is a consistently faithful God.
Yes.
We as believers should be consistently faithful also toward God.
Yes.
And our fellow man. Jesus said in his word in Matthew 5:25, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Faithfulness should not contradict, but operate in truth and integrity. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Our second area of observation is when we as believers trust that God is with us, we'll discover he's more than enough for our every need. Lamentations 3:24 says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Levites were direct descendants of Levi, the third son of Jacob and Leah. Levi's descendants became a tribe of priests among the 12 tribes of Israel. They did not receive tribal territory with the other tribes, but had the Lord for their portion. Numbers 18:20-21 states, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Here we see that though the Levites had no share of the land available to the other tribes, the Lord had provided for them the tithe. The tithe was payment for their service of the tabernacle of the congregation. The Lord had provided the tithe as compensation for their lack of an inheritance in the land. The Lord, being their portion, their inheritance, provided for their every need. At your earliest opportunity, I challenge you all to read as written in Leviticus 6:14 through the 7th chapter, verse 36, and pick up again at the 27th chapter of Leviticus, verses 26 through 33. See how God, the Almighty God, their inheritance, the portion provided for them through his people, see how he shows his faithfulness. See how he shows his mercy to his chosen people. The prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:24 has made a decision. He's thinking clearly now. He's taken a moment from feeling the anxiousness and the anguish and the distraughtness that he was feeling for the people of Israel and Judah, and is bringing his mind back to clarity. He realized that God could have completely destroyed nation Israel and Judah, but being exiled to Babylon, many are left alive. His thinking changed from that of the wrath of God to that of the mercy and goodness of God. His clear thinking reminded him of God's past faithfulness and that he's never failed in any of his going outs or his coming ins. Joshua 1:9 states, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." The prophet Jeremiah decides that God is his portion. And being his portion, he's more than enough. In him will he place his hope. What is hope? To hope in God is to stand in awe of him and his power with the confidence that God will faithfully perform his word. Thus, hope becomes trust in the righteous character of the one true and living God. We as Christians today can hope in the same unchanging God that the prophet Jeremiah placed his hope in. He is faithful back then, and he is faithful today to do what he says he'll do. The presence of God and recognition that the Lord is good and his word is true inspires hope even in the midst of the greatest of disasters. We are going through some difficult times in our world today. We are experiencing the pandemic of COVID-19. This disease is no respecter of persons. It doesn't care what your color is. It doesn't care what your height is. It doesn't care anything about you but to attack your body and destroy you. We are experiencing some difficult times in our leadership and how we should fight this virus. We're experiencing some difficult times in coming up with solutions to and cures for this virus. But how many of you know our hope should remain in the Lord?
Amen.
He is a faithful God. Is there anything too hard
for God?
Amen. He is able to wave his hand and this virus disappears. He is able to speak a word and this virus disappears. We're going to keep on hoping. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on believing that God will act on our behalf. This racism and discrimination that we're experiencing as a result of the revelations that are being brought to the forefront from this virus itself. These things that have been going on for a long time.
Yes.
Too long. Our God is able to turn this thing around as well. We're going to keep on hoping. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on believing that he'll turn this thing around and act for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. We're thankful that God is God. He is in control. He is a sovereign God. And we thank him for his involvement in our lives. He is an all-knowing God. There is nothing that escapes his knowledge. He knew it before the beginning of time. And he is able. My God is able to work and act on our behalf. Glory to the name of the Lord. Our third area that we will observe is, while we wait on the good Lord to act on behalf of our prayer requests and hopes, we should gather strength through a deeper knowledge and relationship with him. Lamentations 3, 25 and 26 reads as follows. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Waiting on the Lord to act on our behalf does not mean sitting back helplessly.
Amen.
It means to gather strength, to be energized by the confident expectation that God is going to act according to his promises.
Amen.
According to his word. The word wait comes from the Hebrew kava, to hope for, look for, or expect. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Psalm 41 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalm 27, 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lastly, Isaiah 40, 31 promises, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God gets involved for those who wait. He blesses us with strength to wait until he acts on our behalf. My God is an able God. There is nothing too hard for my God. We're about to close. Our God shows his faithfulness each and every day of our lives. His mercies are renewed every morning. He is God with an inexhaustible supply of mercies. Since you woke up this morning, you are blessed with his mercy and faithfulness. Each new day brings with it opportunities to shout glory to God for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Each new day is a blessing to grow closer to God in knowledge and devotion. My God is well worth knowing, and knowing even better. Each new day brings opportunity for us to share the gospel with those who need to hear the good news. Each new day brings opportunity for us to show love for our fellow brothers and sisters as God would have us do. He said in his word, love God first, and second only to that is to love your neighbor.
Yes.
Thank God for his divine guidance in how our behavior should be one to the other and toward him. We can look back over our lives and see that faithfulness and mercy of God toward us. Oh, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself here, if you don't mind. Oh, I remember the time when I was driving down the highway, feeling fatigued and fell asleep. As I drifted off the road, headed for disaster, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, the day before had caused it to rain. And the rain left a puddle of water off to the side of the road, just at the right spot when I was drifting off to the side of the road and my right wheel hit the water. The splash awakened me and caused me not to be one who was headed for disaster, but one who was saved from disaster or worse. I'm talking about a good God.
Amen.
I'm talking about a merciful God.
Amen.
I'm talking about a faithful God who acts on our behalf. I'm not going to leave it there. I can tell you about a time when my wife and I were driving home from Texas to Louisiana, and we ended up going onto Highway 28 there in Leesville, and God had placed it in my mind at that point in time to change drivers. My wife was driving at the time, and the Lord put it in my mind that now would be the time to change drivers. It was a dark road and very little light on the road, and we started to proceed down the highway, headed toward Alexandria. And when we got down the highway a piece, it being pitch dark, we saw some headlights coming toward us. And they came toward us in a fast manner. And I could see that I wasn't going to be able to avoid the collision. So I said to my wife, look out, we're going to get hit. And I tried to swerve, and as I was trying to swerve,